Okay, we did it.
We did it.
We did it again.
It's music. It's a ray gun. It's music ray gun.
Welcome to Music Ray Gun. I'm Paul.
I'm Kirk.
Kirk.
Paul.
Everybody's tough. We just dropped last week our anniversary episode.
Yeah, 7 years.
Everyone's been talking about our Paisley Underground / Paisley Park episode.
Yep.
And the milestones just keep on coming.
That's right.
Because this is episode 150.
Yay!
Of Music Ray Gun.
150.
And if you count the mini episodes, this is our 300th episode.
No.
Yeah.
God, we're great.
If you scroll down on Apple Podcasts right now and you look at the information about our podcast, it'll say 300 episodes.
You're welcome, America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the world. No, and this is world. A global enterprise.
We're a global entity.
Yeah. And
yes.
In fact, I was looking at our metrics recently and we got a big pop in listeners in Dublin.
Hey!
And I'm hoping that it's Mark Wilde.
Fucking A, Mark Wilde, if you're dropping our name left and right.
Mark Wilde, if you've been listening to the past, the back catalog, or spreading the word among your friends, we appreciate you.
God bless.
And if it's not you, but you're whoever and is listening to us, we appreciate you.
We appreciate anyone who listens to our bullshit.
Yeah, I'm sure there are some assholes out there listening to us.
Oh, of course. Look at us.
Yeah. And the... Or, criminals.
What if they're all...
I'm sure out of everyone who's listened to the show, all the hundreds of thousands, perhaps even millions of listeners we've acquired, there's like a tax cheat in there.
I hope that there's someone in prison listening to us on an illegal phone, and that illegal phone they only use to listen to Music Ray Gun.
Yeah.
That's the only reason they have it.
And also, I'm not that mad at tax cheats either, really. That's kind of cool.
That's cool. I want murderers.
Did you ever hear about how Sammy Davis Jr. died owing more money to the IRS than anyone's ever owed the IRS or something like that?
I did not know that.
That's cool. That's cool to do.
Well, Sammy, it's like smoking. He's cool because
he's cool anyway, but dying with debt is good, I think.
If your loved ones don't have to carry it, sure.
I'm not leaving behind any progeny. So
you're good with it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Maybe the government will find a way to come after you. You're like my closest relationship. That guy does a podcast with.
Yeah. Paul owes hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. But anyway, it's our 150th episode, and we're not going to break tradition.
Nope.
The tradition that every 10 episodes, we do a grab bag.
Oh, this grab bag. Paul, this grab bag.
It's a show where we always have a topic, except when we don't have a topic, and that is the grab bag.
Just throwing out random shit
music videos that we picked.
Here's my goal for tonight.
Yeah.
My hope, my dream. We pick five each. Here's what I want to think is going to happen with the five.
Okay.
Two... One, you're going to be like, yeah, that's good. One, you're going to be like, one, I hope you're like, this is now canon in my life.
Okay.
One, you're going to hate, but find interesting. And two, you're going to go, what the fuck are you doing? That's my hope and goal that I achieve.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't consider your response to my things when I pick them at all.
Well, I curate because I care. You don't have feelings.
I pick things that I think are interesting, and I say, well, Kirk will respond in some way to this.
Oh, I like all of these, but for pure content-wise, I'm really hoping this is how it goes down.
Yeah. But yeah, sure. That's the nature of a grab bag.
Yeah.
Just all randoms.
Yes, all randos.
We're going to start with one of mine.
Oh, okay.
This is by a group called Quarteto Quetra. Do you know Quarteto Quetra?
No.
There's no reason why you should unless you were Italian in the 1950s and 60s.
Was neither.
They're sort of like the 1960s Manhattan Transfer of Italy.
I love Manhattan Transfer.
This is a four-person singing group.
Mm-hmm.
One gal,
mm-hmm.
Three guys,
mm-hmm.
Very Italian.
How do you know them?
Because of this clip, which I remember seeing on YouTube many years ago when YouTube was still relatively new. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this would like go viral today, but at the time, any like semi-interesting thing went mm-hmm. viral. What we're going to watch is a commercial
mm-hmm.
from 1962 for like Vespa scooters. I told you it was Italian.
Fucking love Vespa scooters. This is
very
man.
Italian.
Vespa These scooters are the coolest fucking thing.
This is a 60s Italian vocal group singing a song, singing a kitschy little song. Yeah, but well, it's a full song.
Oh, okay.
But it is a jingle okay. for Lambretta scooters. I don't know if Lambretta is the model and Vespa makes them or if they're a competitor of Vespa, but either way, Italian cool. scooters. Yeah. You know what you're getting.
Oh, yeah. Fucking cool as shit.
So this is their song called The Lambret Twist.
Oh, of course it's got to have a dance?
Everything has to be a twist. It's okay. 1962. So this is a very 60s, very Italian thing. And the setup is this deranged take on scientists where they're playing scientists. And they're in front of a table with, you know, like beakers with colored liquids in yeah. them and like smoke coming out. And they're saying, it's in Italian, but I'll quickly translate the dialogue that you're going to hear, which is they're saying, what should we invent? Because, you know, science.
Yes, of course.
You invent shit.
You invent things. That's yeah. all science does.
So they're all scientists saying, what should we invent? Should we invent a car? No, the car's already been invented. Should we invent a train? No, the train's already been invented too. How about we'll invent the scooter? And then they start pouring things into like a machine and out comes a scooter.
And out comes a scooter, because that's how scooters are made.
Yeah. And so they're singing about this, we make it a scooter, or whatever. You know, Italian.
Yeah.
And then they go into a second part, which is, now we do the Lambret Twist.
Oh, so there's a second part with
and
the dance.
And like, yeah. All right. It's a whole thing.
I'm excited. They better be showing these Vespers, too. These
scooters. Oh, you'll get to see some scooters. Oh, yes. Also, problematic depictions of race.
Okay.
Because, again, it's the 60s. So these white Italian people dress up in cultural costumes and brown face in a couple instances. Okay.
Wow.
But it was a different time.
Yes. It's archaea. It's like finding a fossil.
But as if to say, like, all over the world, everyone's riding these scooters because they're so it. Great.
Che inventiamo l'automobile? Ma l'hanno già
inventata. Oh, they like easily give off Manhattan Transfer rides.
Yeah. But they're also all flavors of Italian.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, picture three different Italian men. Yeah, you're picturing this
yep,
group.
That's about right. You got it. I mean, hell yeah.
Now they're picking up their beakers full of liquids because they're inventors.
I wonder if they were fucking huge and they're like, oh my god, they're doing a commercial for... Like,
I also wonder. They're not like a household name in the US. But so they're just shoving all these ingredients into a machine.
I mean, if we're being honest, they're just shoving in parts of the scooter.
Yeah.
So they're not really inventing the scooter.
Yes, they are, Kirk. This is science.
It's a science. Oh, this is so Manhattan Transfer-y.
Yeah, and then now the machine is kicking out a
Look
fully formed.
Look at that badass motherfucking
beautiful
scooter.
Beautiful Vespa.
Oh.
Other brands.
There's the twist.
Yeah.
Oh, you're doing the twist on the scooter.
Right? Because the handlebar sort of turns. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so they're doing different ethnicities. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, he's an Indian.
And then they're just doing the twist.
That was just 60s people twisting.
Yes.
Those suits rule.
Yeah,
those
cow suits.
Yeah.
These scooters I want so bad.
Yeah. We used to work with a dude who sucked.
Yes,
but he.
I know exactly. That's all he needed to say.
He rode a Vespa to work every day, and I was always jealous.
I mean, that was only his only good quality.
Yeah. It's to be a scooter rider is a lifestyle choice.
Yes,
that I want to make, but don't think I can. You know what I mean?
I would make it definitely not in LA. I feel like you would die.
Yeah, well, there's that too, yeah. But it's sort of like, I've always wanted a pet rat, because rats are supposed to be, like, really smart and great and very loyal and great pets. But I can't be a guy with a pet rat.
Then you're the guy with the pet rat.
Exactly.
No.
Like, if you're like a cute, like, if you're like an e-girl and you're on TikTok and you're super cute, but you're a little quirky, but then you have a pet rat, it's like, oh my God, that girl's so cute. And she has a pet rat.
That's so adorbs.
But if it's a dude like me who's like, yeah, I got a rat, no one's ever coming to my apartment ever again.
They're like, okay, that guy's going to die though.
Kind of the same with the Vespa. Like, there's nothing wrong with Vespas, but you need to be able to pull it off. I think, and I don't think I have the alchemy.
I think if it's your second vehicle, then it's like, oh, what a fun guy. Like, he's got a, like a, you have a, you have like not a sports car, a nice car, just a good, responsible, solid car that you do for shopping, for going long distances. And then for fun, you have a scooter. Like, that guy's kind of fun.
I'd want it to be my main vehicle because I don't even want a car anymore.
I know you don't.
I drive so seldomly. I basically just drive to the supermarket once a week. And I'm like, yeah, I can have a Vespa to just drive to Trader Joe's. That would be such a better mode, but I don't know.
Nah,
but
throughout the wrong city.
But I also, and this would be a much more expensive proposition, want a vintage.
Yeah.
A vintage.
Well, then you're really fucking cool.
Right.
Then you know your shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like me with like the little fucking helmet.
The little tiny
on my
helmet.
Scooter. I'm on my scooter.
Beep, beep, beep. Honk.
Yeah, like no.
Get out of the way.
No, I can't do that. No, I need to be a dude like on a Harley, but I'm not that guy either.
Yeah, it's tough. That's a tough one to pull.
But anyway, I love this commercial because of, well, the kitschiness of it. I love the 60s.
That's a good song, actually.
I've always low-key wanted a scooter.
Yeah, scooters are fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's watch a relatively new video from a classic trio.
Let's listen to some Belle Biv DeVoe.
Yeah.
From winter of 2023.
Is it that new?
It's that new.
This is new Belle Biv DeVoe.
This is new Belle Biv DeVoe.
Didn't know that there
this
was.
This is Belle Biv DeVoe with Run from Run DMC.
Ooh.
Act Like You Know. And obviously, I love Belle Biv DeVoe. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the song fucking rules. But
that's not necessarily obvious. There's lots of
there's some bad bit. Yeah,
groups
some.
Put, old classic groups who put out new material that's real. Take it or leave it.
This is why it's good, because they're literally just pandering to my tastes. it's Run. It's Belle Biv DeVoe. The video's got old school guys popping and locking. There's a basketball reference.
Oh.
You're gonna hear the hook of the sample, and you're like, okay, they're literally just catering to Gen X guys.
Yeah. Hey, dudes in your 50s.
Yes.
Did you grow up with our music? Do you miss when we were on the radio?
Yeah.
Here's something for you.
Here you go, Kirk. I mean, other people.
Yeah. So, and this video is actually, the video isn't, there's not much to this video, but there's some stuff to it. And the reason why they did it is, they explain it, because it's almost like a little mini doc.
Oh, okay, where they do a little sketch at the stuff, beginning. Yes. Yeah.
They have a little credits, and produced by Michael Bivins and his wife.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So is this New Jack Swing or just...
It's No, no, it's more... No, it's not New Jack Swing.
Yes. And here it is in 2023.
Wow.
Yes. 40 years later.
They were on tour together in 1983. See, there's the popcorn laws.
Oh, New Edition.
Yeah, New Edition tour with Run DMC.
History in separate ways.
What's the name of this song?
Act Like You Know. Belle Biv DeVoe and Run, let's go.
How far apart in age are Rev Run and...
6 or 7 years. Okay. 7 to 8 years. Yeah.
I mean, of course, the Apache.
Yeah, so it's literally just them using Apache, Run rapping.
But and, the Rev and Ronnie, if they're not 20 years apart.
I know. They're like, one
is aging a lot better than the other.
Maybe 10. Yeah. Maybe 10. Not more than 10. Those are old school poppers.
Oh.
Now, I love this too. You're going to hear Ricky come in and you're like, yeah, Ricky. This might be the best Ronnie I've ever heard.
Okay. Rapping or singing?
Rapping. The singing's just... It's just...
Well, Ricky can sing.
Yeah. Ricky's
we
just...
We know that.
Up. And then there'd be Young Simply. Yeah, Ricky, holding it down.
Yeah.
But, like, I keep skipping a lot of it because I follow them on TikTok. They're in Vegas right now.
Yeah.
Doing, like, a little, like, mini residency.
Okay.
And it's really good.
But they're also like putting in Spinners music now too. They're doing the Spinner stuff. There's Ron.
Yeah.
Still got it.
Yeah, Ronnie's cool.
Ronnie's cool. And then at one point, Mike will rap, and I literally like screamed coming up, and it's so like, it's coming up here. Hang on. It's coming up. That was it right there. I don't think I'm Rod Strick. I was like, he's talking about Rod Strickland from the 80s and the 90s in the NBA. He did that for me.
And
he
then
did
that for the me. Clip they showed in that moment, I'm assuming, was a clip of Rod Strickland.
No, it's a clip of Bivens.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, from what? A celebrity?
Yeah. Okay. Just like a young, when he was real young. But yeah, like, listen, the residency in Vegas... It's a residency in Vegas, so it's got that vibe, and you're like, some new edition guys have got it. Some guys struggle.
Uh-huh.
Don't want to name, that's basically the song, and now they just talk. But, like, it's just weird, because you're like, again, they're doing their stuff.
I thought you meant Belle Biv DeVoe has a mini residency.
Oh, no, it's all
new edition.
It's new edition, okay. But then they all break it down. It's like, okay, let's do the Belle Biv DeVoe section. Let's do the Johnny section. Let's do the New Edition section. Let's do the Ralph.
Is anyone besides Bobby struggling?
No, it's just Bobby.
Okay. You're right. But, I know you didn't want to name names, but I'll say it. Bobby Brown.
But it's weird. He's lost his step. He can't do as much.
Yeah.
At one, in one clip, Ronnie's out there with him. Yeah. Like, just dancing with him. Just so tight because Ronnie wants to. But the biggest applause is all of Bobby's songs.
Yeah.
So, like, he's doing the least, but getting the most applause.
Is he doing his solo hits?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why.
I thought you meant the songs that he, the new edition songs he did, he sang lead on. I'm like Mr. Telephone Man? Okay,
Telephone Man,
I guess, but yeah.
Yeah, so all his solo stuff.
Sure. Does he come out and do My Prerogative?
It's like My Prerogative and Don't Be Cruel and Every Little Step and...
Sure, Every Little Step's
but
gonna
it's
get a
like,
huge pop.
Yes, yeah. But it's all like young dancers really doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah, well, you know, it's reasonable that they're all, what, they're older than you by
they're
how
like,
many years?
They're like 3 years, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, they're in their mid-50s.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's reasonable that they're not all going to be super high energy, super
yes,
physical.
But
capable.
That's how I always associate them with.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Dreams, yeah. Dreams die hard.
Yeah.
Yep.
I get it.
Yep.
But it's good to see. I mean, they're still pretty robust overall.
They're doing pretty well. Those three are doing pretty well. Yeah.
That was a good clip.
Yeah.
We'll just use the Apache sample again. It just makes people
go crazy. They're like, let's not overthink this. We're going to do the Apache. Ron, do you want to rap? Yeah, okay, we got it.
Yep. Okay, my next clip.
This is amazing.
You've seen this before?
No. I'm a fan.
Uh-huh.
And I'm shocked that you threw Mr. Harry Connick Jr.
Harry Connick Jr.? Well, I love Harry Connick Jr.
So do
I. Who doesn't like Harry Connick Jr.?
Stupid people.
But I mean, my mom was a big fan, of course, so I grew up like being aware of Harry Connick Jr. And I think he's great.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's great. He's a genius. This clip is entertaining for a very specific reason. This is a clip that like sort of went viral and is... kind of well known. It's from 1999. It's him performing live the title track from his album Come By Me.
Mm-hmm.
But none of that really matters. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to play the clip and I want to see if you pick up on what's happening in this clip and why it's popular.
Okay.
Just some swinging New Orleans sort of jazz pop.
Yeah. Classic Harry.
Yeah.
Shots of girls who want to fuck him.
Uh huh. Crowd's clapping along.
Yeah.
Now he's going to solo.
I mean, motherfucker can play.
Did you see what he just did?
No.
You didn't?
Can we see it again?
I'll back it up a little bit. We don't have to watch all of that all over again. We'll just back it up to...
Sure.
A few seconds. When I say see what he did, I mean musically. Yeah. Hear what he did.
It's like it sounds off.
What sounds off?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm gonna back it up again.
This is a good test, but I don't know.
And I'm gonna count.
Okay.
I want you to pay attention.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. 1, 2. Now that you said that, yeah.
So, here's what's happening. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna back it up again.
Okay.
This crowd. Those girls. How would you describe these girls? When they cut to the crowd,
they are mildly interested in Harry Connick Jr.'s music, but really just want to fuck him.
I'm just gonna make it plain. They're white. These are white girls.
Oh, yeah.
This crowd is white.
Oh, the whole crowd's white.
This crowd is clapping on the one and the three.
Yes.
And that's what white people do.
Okay.
Stereotypically.
Yeah.
Because they are square, and they clap offbeat. Harry Connick Jr. is going crazy this whole time.
In his head, he's like, what the fuck are they doing?
And when he takes his solo, at one point, he adds a beat to one measure so that the crowd will be clapping on the one and the two. I mean, the two and the four. He fixes the crowd.
Wow.
Without them even knowing it. By just adding a note.
He goes into
5/4 time for one measure to fix the crowd.
Wow. Now I need to hear, yeah.
I'll play it again. These squares clapping on the one and the three. It's honkies. This sounds like a church revival with all these white people clapping on the one and three. Here it comes. Yeah? Two, four.
Oh my God.
And you even watch. I'll go back again because... behind him, the drummer puts his hand in the air, goes like this, because the band knows what he did.
Yeah.
And also, the band's going to come in a minute, and they're going to, you know. And so he needed to fix it before the rest of the band could play, because you know they were all like, ugh.
Yeah, they're fucking it up.
I just want to watch it one more time, because it's so good. And pay attention to how much better it sounds after their...
I'm going to look out for the drummer this time, too.
He's like, yeah, Harry. He's like,
fuck yeah, you fixed it.
And they never even knew it.
It's also great, too, because he's pulling it off like they don't know that he's annoyed and he has to fix it because he's just so charming.
Yeah.
And he's smiling. He's like, all right, let me fix you fuckers.
Yeah. In contrast, there's a clip also on YouTube of Justin Bieber playing a song where... Justin Bieber is a musician. We know that he's a good drummer.
Yeah, he's got rhythm, yeah.
But in this live performance of his, he's just singing and he's got a guy on stage playing acoustic guitar accompanying him.
Mm-hmm.
And in a much less cool way, he's singing and the crowd's clapping on the one and the three. And he just goes, stop, stop, stop. He's like, guys, if you're going to clap, then please clap on beat. He just like stops it and just like tells the crowd, like, please stop, please stop. Because he's not as smooth as Harry.
Well, Harry's just fucking,
like, I'm just going to play a trick on them. They're not even going to know what happened.
He's fucking clean.
I'm just going to fix it because he's a pro.
Yeah. Also, like him just thinking, okay, I'm going to fix this before the band comes in.
Yep.
I'm going to do it right here.
That is a professional musician at work.
That's amazing.
I'm just going to sneak an extra note into one measure, and then they'll be clapping on the two and the four, and they won't even notice.
I love the drummer... acknowledging that, like, oh, he fixed it.
Yep.
Thank God. Because he could have just been like, you could have just been mad and continued
on. Could have made a face. He didn't acknowledge it at all, but he's like, I've got to take care of this.
That's why Harry Connick Jr. fucks.
Yep. He rules.
Mm-hmm.
So I just love that.
That was cool, dude.
As a musical thing.
That was really fun.
That is what professional musicians can do.
That's what real, real pros do.
Just on the fly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Second, we're going to do it right now. Good.
Yep.
Yep. You really have to know your shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's other videos of it where they really break down. Like, they show the score. Like, here's what he's playing. Here's the measure. This is the extra note and all that. But it's just...
That's fucking...
It's just a constant joke about how, like, white people are square and they clap on the one and the three.
And they need to be fixed.
And it does have that, like, that old, like, church revival feeling to it. And it's just a different vibe. Like, when he adds that extra note, all of a sudden, it swings.
Yeah.
Like, the crowd clapping and the two and the four swings.
Yeah. It's a different vibe.
And it's just one of those weird musical things that, like, why is that a cultural difference? Why does it feel so different musically? But there you go.
It does.
Yeah. Okay, man. Introduce your next clip, please.
This is the one. I've talked about this.
Yeah.
Paul.
Yeah.
You enjoy La Trim.
I love La Trim.
You love the cars that go boom.
I love Bunny.
You love Bunny.
And I love Tigra.
And you love the cars that go
boom.
And
I love, well, yes, I love the song, The Cars That Go Boom. I don't actually like Cars That Go Boom, but I don't need to love that song and that group. Yeah.
And I had mentioned this on a pod months ago where I was like, I think I mentioned, well, if you like you love Supersonic, and you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so this is me giving you JJ Fad's Supersonic, which is, it's not the same song as The Cars That Go Boom, but it's the same song.
Okay.
It's the same vibe.
When is this from?
Same era, 85, 86. Late 80s,
okay.
Yeah.
Or mid 80s, yeah. Okay.
And this song fucking rocks.
Okay.
Is it better than the Trim? Well, we'll have to wait and see. But this is...
That's a tall order. That's a tall order.
This is much more well-known than The Cars That Go Boom.
Okay.
This is a bigger... Supersonic.
I mean, I'll probably recognize it.
I'm curious if you're like, oh, this is what Supersonic is.
Yeah.
So it starts out, you think it's going to go... And this is the single. This isn't for the video.
Mm-hmm.
The single actually starts out this way.
Okay.
So you think it's going to go some way and then it goes another.
I don't know what that means, but I'll just hit play and we'll find out.
Three young girls.
Yup. Just a beatbox.
Yeah.
Are these three women that actually... Oh, yeah, of course. I know.
Yeah, so you know Supersonic. I was shocked because I was like, you have to know Supersonic.
I think maybe you said, like, if you had said JJ Fad, I never heard of JJ Fad before.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, Supersonic.
Yeah.
Everyone sang this song.
Yeah.
In the 80s. And there's one part that we all just did every time. But look at their fucking dancing, they're roller skating, they're wearing Air Jordans.
Yeah, they look great.
Yeah.
The color scheme was the, the red and yellow and black color scheme. They look great. They're a little more capable than La Trim, but in a weird way for me, that makes it not as good. And I like the accents on La Trim, like, all kinds of guys.
So they're a little too good.
They're too good.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see what you're saying.
La Trim's a little more, handmade.
Yes. Yes. But like,
we like the cause. The cause that go boom.
Like, I have no idea. They don't have no other song that I know of. JJ Fad.
So JJ Fad isn't like a person. It's the name of this trio.
Well, yes. Well, here's the thing. JJ Fad...
Yeah.
Is Juana, Juanita, Fatima, Anna, and Dana. But then the lineup changed, it just became three.
Okay.
So they just changed that to just Jammin', Fresh, and Deaf.
Yeah. Yep.
That's really what it stands for. But this is what I remember. To rock the mic. Their label? Ruthless Records.
Ruthless Records.
Ruthless Records. Yeah. This is one of the first, like, non-Eazy-E. Signing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And there, this was just like a huge song. Oh, yeah, 85, 86.
That's when this is from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It was a real big, like, West Coast thing.
Yeah, I love these beats where it's just so simple and scaled back and it's like just.
Yeah. So I just saw this and I forgot. So this is like 85, 86.
Yeah.
They came back in 1991 with an album called Not Just a Fad.
Yeah, that's tricky when you put fad right in your name.
Yep. And you know that we are freaks. This is the big part. Exotic, and the R is for rap. Yeah. Just to stay the hell back. Everyone's, that part was like the big part of the whole song.
Yeah, you can kind of imagine Bunny and Tigra specifically listening to this and being like, we want to do that.
We can do that. Or like,
this is big too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she goes off. Oh, they're saying 88, but it was released like 86, 87. Mm.
Yeah, with the tongue twister.
Yep. Yeah. A little more talent than Latrem.
Yeah. But, I mean, as much Riz as they have, who has more Riz than Latrem? But yeah, you can't help but compare because it is very similar.
Like, they could have been on tour together.
Yeah.
They could have easily been on tour together.
Yeah. I am familiar with Super. Well, I can't say I'm familiar because I don't even know the name of the artist who did it. But
you know the song. As long as you know the song, that's all that matters.
I haven't not heard that.
Okay, before. Thank God. I was wondering because I was like, that's really weird.
Yeah. You're going to be familiar with the next clip I have.
Okay.
Because I sent it to you a couple months ago.
Alrighty.
I'm just presenting it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
This is a commercial parody from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, I love this. Yes.
This is maybe my favorite commercial parody from SNL ever. Just because it's from when I was real young and when I was first watching SNL. This is from 1991.
Yeah.
And I'll just say what it is. It's the Levi's three-legged jeans commercial.
Such a genius fucking commercial.
It's funny on its face. It's funny on its own merits.
Yeah.
But I don't think it will be as funny to anyone who wasn't like relatively young in 1991 and watching a lot of TV and watched a lot of the Levi's commercials that this is parodying. Because it's such a particular vibe that they're capturing. And they capture it so well that even this goofy parody makes me real nostalgic.
It really does.
Yeah.
It makes me feel very nostalgic for the 90s, even though they're making fun of a stupid thing.
It's a very, they're making fun of a very specific style of commercial, and they nail it.
Yes.
And the jingle that they wrote for this parody is actually really catchy, and it's I think of it all the time.
It feels so real.
Yeah. So I just watch this every like few months.
It's just
one of my favorites. And also it's fun to see like all these cast members when they were young.
This was a golden era. This era was really big. But I remember I was like 20, 21 and we were like, this is genius.
This nouveau reggae vibe.
On the streets of New York in the summertime.
And this is like David Spade, Rob Schneider.
Chris Rock.
Is Rock in it? Yeah, Tim Meadows is in it. Yeah. Victoria Jackson.
Yeah. Ellen Cleghorn.
Ellen Cleghorn, I still say, is one of the most underrated cast members ever. Yeah, she was great.
But this is so real.
And it's literally just jeans with three legs.
Yeah.
A leg and a leg and a leg.
I just...
Like, a 1991 commercial.
Yeah, I mean, they did it so well. Because, again, if you take out the three-legged jean and just have this. It's a real Levi's commercial. Yeah. It's amazing. No one's like winking. It's really just
they made this. I want to back it up a bit because the t-shirt the guy's wearing that they clearly produced just for this parody, where it's this certain sort of graphic design that also is very 1991. Yes. And his shirt says, pull my leg.
Yeah.
And those t-shirts have to exist somewhere.
Yes.
You know how much I would pay
for
a vintage, maybe there's still a box of them in somewhere in a back room in Studio 8H at 30 Rock where they've got like extra Pull My Leg t-shirts.
And they're just not doing anything with
that
them.
They had to produce just that week.
Yep.
I don't remember like what the Levi's slogan would have been, but that's such a specific thing, that graphic design. And the 90s turquoise. On
The Dago.
It's just playing basketball in jeans.
This, they're
dancing around a boombox.
There.
Yeah.
with this stupid third leg between their crotch.
You can wear the third leg off to either side, or you can have it in the middle.
Doesn't matter. However you want
to. However you do, however you feel.
However you feel, you just wear your three-legged
jeans. Which is also like that sentiment is also that very of that time. It's just like,
doesn't matter. You can be cool, man.
It's like that neo-hippie thing, but also hipster. And just the blousy, like all the print and like the fashion of this is so...
There's no rules.
It's such a throwback.
Yeah, it's skateboarding.
Yeah, that lyric. Nothing in this world is beyond your dreams when you wear your three-legged jeans. Just like the lazy aspiration of that
Levi's commercial.
Yes, yeah, nothing...
Very much.
And then like doing an ollie over people's spare legs that are tied together. It's just...
They must have had so much fun doing this.
Really. Art department must have had so much fun designing this.
Oh yeah, they must like, this is genius.
These slow-mo shots of them jumping.
The slow-mo's big. Like, that's a beautiful shot.
It's well shot. It's beautiful. It looks really good.
Yeah.
Kind of makes me want to buy a pair of three-legged jeans.
I mean, it makes you like, kind of want to hang out with these people. Yeah. This is really cool.
Yep. Leggity-leggity-leg. And then this is the punchline.
Classic.
Cut to Tim Meadows. It isn't any dumber than
acid. It isn't any dumber than acid wash. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, even at the time, as I was wearing acid wash, because everyone was, you're like, oh, yeah, you're not wrong. It's not any dumber.
An acid wash jeans with a tucked in t-shirt.
And a belt.
And a big black belt.
And sometimes the jeans were pleated.
Right, yeah.
And you're like, you're like, look at me. I wore that shit all the time. And then I have a t-shirt, and you roll up your t-shirts just like once or twice. Yeah. So it's not all the way up. It's a little there.
Yeah.
There were some guys, I never did this, that pegged their bottoms.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fucking.
It's such a dated look, but it was such a formative time in my psyche being 9 years old and like absorbing pop culture for the first time. That there's always going to be a part of my brain that's like, that's the coolest you can look.
Yeah. It didn't get any better than that.
Pegged, pleated, acid wash jeans.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. And like a big, beefy t-shirt.
Big, beefy t-shirt tucked in.
Tucked in. Yeah.
90s rule, bitch.
This is such a 90s.
Yeah, this is a good look.
I really have a lot of
I'm so glad affection you put
this on. For that parody. Yeah.
It's top. Top 10.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, please introduce...
Okay.
This is a band Have we had them on before?
We've had them on before.
Okay, I thought
we've talked about Skritti Politti.
Skritti, yeah.
Because I think we talked about Propaganda Records.
Okay.
Something like that. No, there was a label. There was a label that they were on. And the original... This is why I put them on, because all of this is fascinating. And there's going to be a big reveal at the end of this video.
Okay.
But Skritti Politti was like a real like political band to start out.
Yeah.
They were like real leftist, almost communist.
I kind of remember you telling me about this. Yeah.
And did political albums. And then the lead singer went, yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, let's make some money.
Let's make some money.
It's the 80s. Let's sell out so hard.
Yeah.
And go super commercial.
And let's go real like baby shit soft.
Yeah.
Like really. So they had this album called Love and Psyche 85 that had Perfect Way, which is a real bubblegum pop. I love that song. And then they came out with the second album. And the reason why I know the second album is because I tried to buy the first album off of a used record store website, Dusty Vinyl in Chicago. Independent, so we'll promote them. And I couldn't find it at the right price. And so I was like, well, I'll get their second album. I think it's called Obsession. And on it has this song called Oh Patty, parenthetical, Don't Feel Sorry for Lover Boy.
Okay.
You will hate this.
Okay.
This is diarrhea soft. It is like, I like it.
Yeah.
But even I go, woof.
Right.
But
kind of like how when they sold out so hard, even Genesis went, wow.
Yeah.
What a sellout.
Genesis looks at Skritti Politti's Oh Patty and goes, what the fuck? But there's a moment around the 2 minute mark that you're going to be like, what has happened?
In the video or the song?
In the song.
Okay.
And so, well, we'll save it for that. But let's just play this. Even this video is so soft. Like, they don't even move.
It's very just...
Oh, Patty.
Yeah. Oh, Patty, parenthetical, don't feel sorry for Loverboy.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
That keyboard.
Yeah, it's good.
This is such, like, 8th grade dance music. Like,
yeah. This is, like, 86, 87. Yeah. So, like, they'd had big success with... Perfect Way.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't sell it short, did
it's
I?
It's almost overwhelming.
Yeah.
And how not...
He has to sit down through this video. It's so soft.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. I still kind of like it. I'm still like, I'm still good with it.
I just picture some 8th grader in 1986 and his crush's name is Patty.
Yeah.
Patty... You wanna dance with me? Just
don't feel sorry for Loverboy.
Okay, sure thing, Dale.
Dale, okay, Todd.
And like, yeah, this arms length, rocking back and forth, and she's just kind of looking at the ceiling, and Dale is sweating.
He's like, "This is the most important moment of my life."
Yeah.
So this is the hook. This is the chorus.
The video is so nondescript as to not be worth describing.
I mean, it's just.
Them
it's them in the
studio. And then someone's typing on a typewriter. Yeah. And there's a split screen
just
for some
images.
Because you need two images at once to just make it seem like there's something going on.
Yeah. Because there's nothing to this song. And I
was that it for the... That was the big hooky chorus?
It comes back again.
Okay.
But still, like the reveal trick. Hasn't happened yet. Okay. So, when I played this... And I still kind of play this album a bit.
Yeah.
And when this came on, I was like, what the fuck? And I looked at the label, I looked at the credits, I was like, what the fuck is going on? And it's just weird.
Okay. Does someone appear?
Is that... Maybe.
Okay.
It's Prince. Even the drummer's just like, hit.
Is he just so bored?
He's so bored.
Ooh, the ponytail on the piano player.
This is much as energy gets right now.
Yeah.
But again, this was a leftist political band 4 years prior.
Yeah, that's nuts. They're English, right?
Yeah, they're British, yeah.
It's not even bad. It's just wow, this is just real light.
It's so soft.
Yeah.
Yeah, background singers.
It's actually, I like the background singers kick.
It makes it a little bit, gives you a little energy.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Just doesn't really go anywhere.
I really can't pick up any, even more than Rite Aid music. It feels like a children's dance. Is that KG? Is it David Sam? No, that's not even a saxophone. What am I hearing? It's a trumpet. Who's playing trumpet on this?
Miles Davis.
I was just going to say, please tell me it's Miles Davis.
It's Miles Davis. Miles Davis is on Oh Patty, parenthetical, Don't Feel Sorry for Loverboy by Skritti Politti.
You know what's funny? My father's listening to this right now. And my father is a huge Miles Davis fan. And he probably has known since the moment you said Skritti Politti what was coming. He's like...
Yeah, probably. And here's why, Mr. Ciampanelli, because you probably know the reason why he's on this is because Miles Davis loved A Perfect Way and did a cover of it
for his own
album.
But it's so much that he was like, I want to play on your next record.
Hey, whatever you need. He's like, well, we've got this song called Opad. He's like, fine, I'll do it. I'll do it. It sounds great. But he's on this fucking song.
I'm just embarrassed that I heard the trumpet and was like, soprano sax? But it's just so soft that the first thing I thought was like Kenny G.
Also, why the fuck would Miles Davis, the greatest jazz musician in history, be on this?
Because Miles Davis did whatever he wanted.
Exactly.
And can, and we can't question
it. No. And... It's funny because his version of Skritti Politti's The Perfect Way is really great.
Yeah.
But it's very just straightforward. It's like just a straightforward true cover. He doesn't fuck around.
Yeah.
He doesn't do any sort of like embellishes. He doesn't jazz it out. He's just like, I'm going to do the cover of Perfect Way like they did it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to...
And then just like had a solo on this song that honestly... Would you really even notice it if you didn't know? Like, no. Oh, that's Miles.
No.
Yeah.
And I just, because I was reading the credits and I was like, wait, Miles Davis? Miles Davis is on
but
this.
But he didn't appear in the video.
No, I'm sure he's like, that's a little too far, boys.
Yeah, I'm not going to be in a room with you.
Also, you got to think he was probably like, you want me to be on your song? Okay. That's, we're good, right? Okay.
It's like ODB doing his verse on...
Me and Mariah. Okay, yeah. Just kills it.
Just kind of pop in the studio for a minute and a half. Yep. Lay down one take.
Yep. And then he's out. Miles Davis bounce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was a good...
Yeah.
And by the way, I didn't hate it.
I'm okay. I'm glad you didn't hate it.
It's not going to go on my playlist or anything.
No, but it's...
It's not my kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, I have.
It was just sort of fascinating for being that very... And like... What I was saying is, like, more than Rite Aid music, I really can just picture an 8th grade dance.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you were going to do some sort of kitschy performance already, like, what if we throw, like, a prom for adults?
Yes.
As, like, a happening.
Yeah.
And then you build the playlist for that. It's like, this would definitely go on it.
Yeah, even if you don't know it,
like,
you know
relive
it.
Your come relive your junior high dances, your winter balls, and your formals. Or semi-formal
dances.
Which I grew up in the 90s with a bunch of Guidos. So it meant a lot of voluminous silk shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And chains.
Yeah.
You know? And, but like I'm like 12 and 13-year-old boys with a lot of hair gel.
Yeah. Okay, what a time to be alive.
Yeah, but we danced to Boys to Men because this is before my time for that. But it's that kind of thing.
It's the same vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so you're a huge fan of Right Said Fred. You love I'm Too Sexy. I know
it's
that.
It's okay.
I mean, this next thing is something...
I don't love
to
it,
to which I'm going to subject you.
Okay.
Is what this is. Yes, if for those who don't know, Right Said Fred are a Europop... I don't know what country they're from. Are they British or something else?
Oh, I just read something about them kind of recently. I don't think they're British, no.
Okay. But they are a Europop duo.
Yes.
Who had a big, huge one-hit wonder song in 1992 called I'm Too Sexy.
Yes.
It's the same summer as Baby Got Back. It was that kind of year. The year I went to see those artists at the Kiss 108 concert.
Legendary concert.
Sir Mix-a-Lot was not part of that concert. Okay. Right Said Fred was.
Yes.
I'm Too Sexy is a fun song that I have a soft spot for and always will. You hate it.
I hate it, but I do appreciate it because I remember, maybe I read it somewhere recently or something. They meant it as a joke.
Oh, it's completely tongue-in-cheek.
It's completely tongue-in-cheek.
You watch the video. That's why I think it's fun. It's like, you watch the video. It's like, these are two dudes who are not taking themselves seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though they were legitimately like sexy dudes, right? Like they had good bodies, but they were making fun of... being that type of guy in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Which is, I always, you could pick, you know, I was too young to pick up on the sophistication of that, like, winking irony, but you kind of intuit it.
Yeah.
And I appreciated it. Anyway, that's just to explain what I'm Too Sexy is. We're not going to watch the video for I'm Too Sexy. We're going to watch a video with Right Said Fred from 2013. and it is from a soundtrack to a movie. They contributed to the soundtrack to a movie.
Okay.
Called The Smurfs 2.
They did not, did they?
Yes.
Wow.
And this is... So The Smurfs... Did you even know that there was a second computer animated Smurfs movie 10 years ago?
I must have seen it with the kids because they were like...
Oh, they would have been that age.
They would have been like 7 and 9?
Yeah.
So 8 and 6. Yeah, 8 and 6.
So, I mean, I was vaguely aware of there being a Smurfs movie. I know that like Hank Azaria played Gargamel.
Okay.
Whatever. It's not on my radar, but...
100% we took the kids and I slept through the entire thing. That's what happened.
Sure. Yep. Sure. Great. You'll get to see some clips of the movie.
Fantastic.
In the music video to I'm Too Smurfy. By Right Said Fred.
God bless them. Yes,
They did a little family-friendly take on their own one-hit wonder.
20-odd years too late, but sure, that's fine. Who cares?
Was it ever a good idea to do this?
No.
This is horrendously bad. Okay. This is a bad on purpose thing. I'm just like, I'm going to make Kirk watch this.
Sure.
Because I had to, I saw it, and I'm like, no, I need other people
to suffer. I'm Too Smurfy by Right Said Fred.
It's exactly what you think it is.
Yes.
It's the exact same song. but with the word Smurfy substituted for sexy.
And they're doing the Right Said Fred is doing the singing.
Yes.
Okay.
And the one thing I'll say is there's two dudes in Right Said Fred. One of them, the singer, I don't know their names. No. Fred and the other Fred.
And Fred and Right Said.
Yeah, Fred number one, it looks like his eyes are screaming and the smile is plastered on.
Mm-hmm.
Fred number two, who I guess like makes the music, mm-hmm. I don't know what he does, looks like he's genuinely having the most fun dancing with people in Smurf costumes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this sucks.
Smurfy for my love, to Smurfy for my love, we love Smurfs, believe me.
Oh, he's like, okay, I'm getting paid, I'm getting paid.
Clips of this movie that looks shitty as hell.
Wow.
And it's just like them in their studio, like, yeah, we're still making music.
Yeah, we're still making it. They still look great. Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah.
Two things.
Yeah.
Obviously, oh, shit. I told you there
were people in Smurf costumes.
They, obviously, someone came to them and was like, hey, we want to do it, but we want to do it. I'm too Smurfy. Will you do it?
And they say, if you pay us $30 million.
And they're like, yes.
Yeah.
But my thing is like, why, dude, are you looking at the lyrics? A, it's your song. B, it's just no, I'm too Smurfy. Changed.
He's even talking about like Milan, New York, and Japan.
It's the same fucking song, dude.
There is one part where they change it up and they have a little joke in there. And you go, oh, look what I see what they did.
Wow, this is a nightmare.
It's a fever dream.
It is a fever dream. Oh, yeah. They're like, let's just do this. I mean, like, you do not need lyrics for this.
No, this is the part where they switch it up, and it's a hilarious joke.
On the Smurf walk. Oh.
I
mean the Smurf walk.
On the catwalk. I mean the Smurf walk.
I'm naughty. Oh my God.
See, Fred number two is loving it.
Yeah.
He's like, we're back on top, baby.
This is going to make us.
This is going to revive everything.
I'm sure like the director's like, have fun.
They seem like they're probably fun dudes. Like Listen, Fred said Fred, I think.
I do think they are like, hey, we had a one hit. It was great.
Yeah.
We fucking nailed it.
When I was 9 years old, I thought this was the best song in the world. We loved it.
Yeah.
And I still like it. It's catchy.
Yeah, it's at the time, I mean, I was like in my early 20s.
Yeah, you were too.
And it was also like, I'm not going to dance to this. Yeah. So it's like, eh.
It's a song that a bunch of fourth and fifth graders are going to love, which is what I was.
The
dancers, well, the quote-unquote dancers.
The Smurf, the people dressed in Smurf costumes are disturbing.
Let me be more specific about what they are. The interns they made dance in these costumes.
Yes, exactly. Because they're like, we're making this on the cheap.
Yeah. And they're all in their early 20s and they have no fucking idea who Right Said Fred is.
No, they're like, it's our first, my
this
first
is
job.
So specifically for the Gen X parents who are taking their kids to this movie. Yes.
To give them something to like wake up to.
Probably if they're even taking their kids to see the Smurfs movie, they like this song. Present company excluded. Yeah. Not in every case, but.
Yeah. 100%. almost positive we went to this.
Yeah.
And I slipped through the whole fucking thing. Oh, they're blue!
They painted their faces blue because of Smurfs. Stupid fucking Dutch cartoon.
Good
or whatever.
For them, but still, fine. Wow.
There's no reason to throw rocks at Right Said Fred. Let's say it that way.
They know who they are.
It's fine that they exist in the world. They're not hurting anybody, Right Said Fred. The Smurfs movies can go straight to hell.
Yeah, but that's...
Even when I was a kid, I was not like...
I didn't like the Smurfs. And that was like of the age when they first came out. I was like 9 or 10. I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
It's boring.
I remember the cartoon being on when I was a little kid in the 80s, but not like... It was not my favorite thing.
It was so fucking boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was just a...
All right.
I just wanted the fever dream of that to be on our show.
The interns in the costumes is a fever dream.
Yeah. And I assume and really hope that Right Said Fred were handsomely compensated for this. I imagine,
yes, because they literally took the entire song.
Yeah.
And just redid it. Yeah.
But this belongs nowhere if not a grab bag episode.
So. 100%. Yes.
Clean it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You've told me about this next group.
Pete and Bass.
Yeah.
How about some UK drill?
Sure.
What we're going to listen to. We're going to listen to some UK drill. Pete and Bass.
Yeah.
So Pete and Bass are UK drill duo that I discovered from one of our old co-workers, Greg, who just posted their song, Gangster Bitch.
Gangster Shit?
Gangster Shit, sorry. Okay. Gangster Bitch is a song by Apache. Yeah. Gangster Shit on his Instagram and rapped over it. And I was like, this song's fucking great. Who the fuck are these guys, Pete and Bass? Pete and Bass are senior citizens in their 70s who do UK drill. Now, there's a big whole like, are they real? Are they not?
Yeah.
So it was really hard to figure out. Because the whole backstory is, some people are like, are they really gangsters? You're like, no, they're not fucking gangsters.
Like the characters from a Guy Ritchie movie.
Exactly. For real. This is very Guy Ritchie movie.
Yeah.
And so Pete and Bass, the story is one of them, their granddaughter loved UK drill and he hated it. But she played it so much that he started really liking it and they came up with Pete and Bass and they started rapping UK drill. I don't think it is, because then you hear other stories that are like, no, it's actually a bunch of producers who got these two guys who are like in their 70s and who do rap.
Yeah.
But they're like performers. They were like stage performers. And they got these guys and taught them the lyrics and they go out and perform.
Okay.
And that's kind of what I think this is.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because this fucking slaps.
Yeah, the concept of this reminds me. I don't think I've heard Pete and Bass.
Yeah.
There's another rap group. Of 70-something British men rapping hardcore lyrics called the Northern Boys.
You mentioned them before, yes.
Yeah, I had a feeling when you were describing this as very Guy Ritchie, I'm like, I bet Pete and Bass is, they're from London.
Yeah.
Which I just looked it up and they are.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, London is south and Northern is like Yorkshire.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like... It's like a very similar thing, but the northern version of it.
Yes.
So I'm very curious to see what Pete and Bass have to offer. I love the Northern Boys.
This song's fucking awesome. But you are like, okay, this might just be like performance art.
Yeah. Now, if they actually are posing or performing as like hardcore gangsters types, Guy Ritchie character types.
Yes, it feels like
that. The Northern Boys are not. The Northern Boys are just like... The lyrics are hardcore, but they just look like a bunch of grandpas.
Oh, okay. No, you'll see.
This, I think, is going to be a little more authentic to you. Yeah. With the hat, yeah.
That and the slow motion.
It's Bricktop from Snatch.
Yeah.
He's going to kill you and feed you to his pigs.
Exactly. Snatch is great. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Was very similar. I wonder who came out with this with their thing first.
Yeah. And it's so like, I'm assuming this is Cockney. It's like they have the subtitles on, thank God, because I have no idea what they're saying.
Really?
If you don't look at it, there's some of the shit you're like, I don't know what this slang is. So, to me... It looks like it's performative. And not in a bad way. I don't think these guys are like fell in love with UK drill and started coming up with these lyrics.
I think that they were... It's a little more fabricated.
Yes, exactly.
And then the Northern... I can't help but compare them to the Northern Boys. The Northern Boys are... They formed themselves and are doing... You know, wrote their own shit.
Yeah, I don't
think they are. But it's an incredibly similar vibe.
Yeah. And I think... Like, they perform in London, and they actually perform, so, like, they learned it.
Yeah.
But I don't think they came up with it. I think they were kind of like, someone had an idea, like, this production company, 91 Shots, came up with an idea, like, let's just do this.
I'm going to call an audible, and I want to play a Northern Boys video after this.
Sure, let's play it. Because this is real short, too. But I play this song all the fucking time. This was in my top five last year.
And the video is just them in a recording studio, yeah, recording, you know, or lip-syncing recording.
But reading, they, like, make appearances, and people love them.
Which one's Pete and which one's Bass?
I have no idea. And then the guy's just there. Like, yeah,
oh, this is like the gag at the end of every episode of Police Squad. Mm-hmm. It's pretending to have frozen.
Yeah, that's why I think, you know what, it's performative.
Yeah.
But I still love it.
Let me pull up the Northern Boys' first big hit. They've had a few different things over the past couple years. And the newest one is as recent as a couple months old. But
okay. This will be an interesting comparison.
Yeah.
Because I only know them by the name you have said.
This is their song, Party Time.
And oh, see, now this looks real because it's like it looks like it's almost in like a backyard and they're just like dressed as like old guys. Yeah.
And one of them, one of the differences is they're a trio, but they've got a hype man. They're Kevin doesn't rap, he just dances.
Okay, this is going to be great. I'm very interested in this.
That's Kevin.
This, see, already this is real.
Yeah. That's all Kevin does.
Yeah, it's less polished.
Yeah. But actually, they're better rappers, I think. Oh. Slightly.
I disagree. They're not. They're more authentic. You know, they're rapping over a song produced by Kanye West.
Yes. I can't remember what it is either, but
like 2007. American Boy is the name of the song.
Yes, yeah.
And I love that song.
Yes, this is the beat from American Boy.
Yeah. It's very, very similar, but this is like definitely them.
Yeah, and the sample choice is also Kevin's influence because this is Patrick. Now, Patrick had put out some rap albums with his identical twin, who's dead now, before this, and it was a lot darker shit.
Okay.
Kevin's influence is like, you guys should use like pop samples.
Oh, okay, that's smart. Yeah, because these are just like real guys.
Yeah.
Where Pete and Bass, you know, they're dressed up, they're a little more performative. It's interesting. It's more,
these are the Beatles and Pete and Bass are the Monkees.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
Jesus. The lyrics are filthy.
Yeah. Like, they came up with these lyrics. Pete and Bass, which are a little more intricate and have a little more slang, they got, someone gave it to them.
It's produced.
Yes, exactly.
That's my favorite lyric right there.
What is it?
Hang myself in the neighbor's garden when he comes home. That's a nice surprise. All Patrick's lyrics are about just being in a depressive spiral and wanting to kill himself. But also kill you on the way out.
We've literally just said the difference between you and me. You listening to the Northern Boys?
Yeah.
And me listening to Pete and Bass.
Yeah.
It literally just sums everything up. At our 150 episode.
And most of Norman's lyrics are about being like incredibly horny, but also like too old and limp dick to do it and also depressed.
Jeez.
So it's weirdly like it's party music, but the lyrics are filthy and dark.
They're filthier than Pete and Bass.
Yeah, for sure.
Also,
they just look like your grandpa, not even your grandpa, but like your grandpa's weird friend.
Yes. They're, and this is what makes sense, that this feels real.
Yeah.
They're filthy dirty.
Yeah.
Pete and Bass aren't filthy dirty, they're gangster, quote
Yeah, but
unquote.
They're playing characters.
Yeah, exactly. And he's taking a piss.
Yeah.
Thanks to our mate, Kevin. Okay, that's fascinating that they had the difference.
Yeah. But they do live shows, too.
Wow.
And Kevin's there, just dancing on stage, not, you know.
Listen, in a couple weeks, I'm going to be in London. I'm going to go figure out what's up with me. I'm going to go into a record store and go, hey, what do you think about Pete and Bass?
Yeah.
And then say, hey, what do you think about the Northern Boys? And see, I just want to hear opinions.
Well, that's sort of not, there's no control group there because there's a North-South rivalry.
Yeah, but I'm wondering
sort of thing
you think
in
the
UK.
Music?
And so if you ask in London who's better, Pete and Bass or the Northern Boys, they're going to say Pete and Bass.
So maybe I'll just ask what Pete and Bass are.
Yeah.
If they're like, oh, they're a fucking joke. Or like, oh, they're good.
Southern chauvinists. Mm-hmm. And Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they'll take any of it seriously.
But. Yeah. I'm interested to see what they think back there.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, that was my first encounter with Pete and Bess. So there you go. Now let's get back to our proper playlist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oops, no, we already watched I'm Too Smurfy. We're not going to watch that again.
We can't do that again.
No, this is my last clip of the episode. This is a death metal group called Cannibal Corpse. Are you familiar with Cannibal Corpse?
No.
No? You don't know Cannibal Corpse? Well, let's listen to their signature song from 1992, Hammer Smashed Face, from the album Tomb of the Mutilated.
I love the name of that title.
You know what? There's no way in the world you'll ever really enjoy any death metal, but mm-hmm. I'll bet if you read like a long list of the song and album titles from death metal bands, you'll get a huge kick out of it. Because it's all shit like
that. I mean, that's a great title.
But we're not just going to listen to Hammer Smash Face. We're going to watch two famous people listen to Hammer Smash Face.
Oh, okay.
Except not really. do you remember a couple years ago when there was like a special thing on Hulu where Rick Rubin interviewed Paul McCartney?
Yeah, I purposely avoided it.
You avoided that? I watched it, of course.
Yeah.
And it was pretty pretentious because it's Rick Rubin.
It's Rick, yeah.
But, you know, there were clips in it where Rick Rubin is like, plays Beatles songs for Paul McCartney. Mm-hmm. It's like, what do you remember about this song? It's like, oh, this is Paperback Writer, or whatever.
Yeah.
But also, he's like, he's got the stems, like, they're listening to it in the recording studio, so he'll isolate the bass and be like, what were you doing on the bass in this track, Paul? He'll isolate the drums. It's like, oh, that's Ringo, you know, his name
is Ringo Starr.
Yeah, he played the drums in the Beatles. You're like, oh, great, cool insight, Paul. I remember the quote from Paul at one point, he's like, well, you know, we wrote our songs to be memorable because we had to remember them. And I was like, wow.
You know he loves saying that.
Penetrating insight from Sir Paul McCartney.
Way to go, Paul.
Anyway, that is all to say that what this video that we're going to watch is, someone just took footage from that of Rick Rubin playing Beatles songs for Paul and edited in Cannibal Corpse to make it look like they're listening to a Cannibal Corpse record and just like bopping their heads to it, like, oh, this is good. Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Cannot fucking wait for this.
And even at the parts where Paul starts messing with the knobs to isolate certain parts of the songs, it's like they're cutting in the Cannibal Corpse song and playing with it. That's
genius.
So this is just Paul McCartney and Rick Rubin listen to Cannibal Corpse.
Okay. I'm super excited for this because this is going to be funny.
Listen to a bit of music?
Rick Rubin. Yeah. You care to listen to a bit of music?
Fucking weird.
I mean, I love Rick Rubin because he's done so many great things.
Yeah, but also.
You up for listening to a bit of music?
Yeah. Oh, here you go.
Here's a little number.
This is already funny because Paul's bought his head immediately.
And also Cannibal Corpse rules. He's snapping his fingers to it.
Yeah. This is amazing. Oh, this fits so well. This is so bad. Look at the Paul like shook his head like, wait, what? This is so smart.
Isolating the drum track on Hammer to Face.
And just he's like shooker. Oh, this is so funny. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we have to think, if this were real, Rick Rubin would know this song in real life. You'd think he probably knows Cannibal Corpse.
I mean, he's at least as aware of Cannibal Corpse as I am.
I mean, I bet you he knows. It just feels like...
They're like a major name in the death metal world.
Because, like, that was one of the things, like, he kind of split with Russell. It's just because he's like, I need to do more like metal and rock. I don't want to do rap all the time.
Yeah, but when this Cannibal Corpse record came out, he was producing like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, okay.
Right? He's putting out Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
I love Blood Sugar.
Not Tomb of the Mutilated.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Good group.
Yeah, group. Good group. Oh, yeah, they're pretty good.
There's something else. Very different energy.
What you got now?
Not this one. It'll be fun to hear.
That's so smart. That was hysterical.
Yeah.
That was great. I love shit like that.
I could never be a person who like listens to a steady diet of like hardcore metal all the time.
Yeah.
But every once in a while in small doses, I'm like, yeah, I'll listen to a Cannibal Corpse song. This fucking rules.
I'm good for
put on a Gore Guts record or
or Gwar?
Gorgoroth. Gwar is a little different.
Okay. Thing.
Yeah.
I've got my death metal in for the next couple of years.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could, you know, we didn't get to hear the whole track. Do you want to watch the actual video?
Hard pass.
Every Smash Bang.
Why do that when we have this video to end it?
Only Music Ray Gun takes you from Cannibal Corpse to Lionel Richie in one move.
Goddamn right. One fell
That's
swoop.
What I want. That's the experience I want people to get out of Music Ray Gun.
Yeah.
This you got to be here for it all.
This is what it's about. This is a Lionel Richie deep cut.
Okay.
So
this is it from the 80s at least? Is it from the heyday?
It's from the 90s.
90s Lionel. Early 90s Lionel.
Lionel.
I didn't even know you were still making music in the 90s, Lionel.
So this is my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say about this.
That you mean that's the name of the song. This song is not your it's not Kirk Pinchon's
destiny. It's not Kirk Pinchon's destiny. Yeah. So this is like mid 92. So
that's when I released Dangerous Lionel.
Is right around that time. So this is off of a greatest hits album, Back to Front. Back to Front is just random greatest hits, but then he came up with like three singles.
Yeah, that's the thing that artists do sometimes when they put out a greatest hits album. I find it annoying.
Yeah, you're like, just put out the greatest. But he can't. So he had one, and the two singles that he came out with became pretty big hits. One is called "Do It to Me,"
mm-hmm.
and that's very like mid-tempo Lionel Richie. It's actually really good, but I'm not going to play that. My Destiny, it feels like it's a little more up-tempo, and the look and sound and feel of the video and the song is like, hey, Lionel going, can I do New Jack Swing?
Ooh, okay.
But not really.
Yeah.
But it's him kind of trying it, especially the video. You're like, okay. And
am I still relevant?
Yes. And I think it's because, so like, he had his first solo album, which is like 83, truly. Mm-hmm. And then Dancing on the Ceiling, or Can't Slow Down, huge. Dancing on the Ceiling, even bigger, with that album's trash, though. And then, like, that's like 86.
Four? Oh.
80, because, like, it was like 82, 83, 84-ish. No, 80, no, sorry. 82, 84, 86, basically.
Yeah, okay.
And then, like, he didn't do anything mm-hmm. during that time. And I think something happened where he had like a horrible, horrible divorce. And then like he was losing his voice.
Oh.
And they were like, he would go to doctors and they're like, we don't know. We don't know. You just lost your voice.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the final doctor and the doctor goes, do you eat spicy food? And he's like, yeah, all the time. He's like, stop eating spicy food. And his voice came back.
Okay.
That was it.
Sometimes you just need to find the right doctor.
He's finding the right doctor.
Yeah.
So this is sexy Lionel.
Okay.
And I'm not going to give you any more than that, but this is interesting.
This is Lionel being sexy.
This is Lionel being sexy.
I don't want to judge. He's a good looking. Here's the thing with Lionel Richie. He's a very good looking man. He makes music that is sexy, but I don't see him as like a sex icon.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
And here he's doing it. He fucking looks great.
Okay.
And he's dancing in this, which he doesn't do that much of. Like, even in the Commodores, he didn't dance that much. Because they weren't known as the band that dances. They just played.
And he's probably like my age, 42, something like that.
Yeah, 41, 42, yeah.
Okay. Lionel Richie's My Destiny.
My Destiny.
Wait, before I play this, though.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the episode, you broke down your hopes and dreams for how I would experience these things. Can you now, that I've seen the first four clips, say which ones you wanted me to respond to?
Belle de Devoe was what I expected. You're like, yeah, this is good. Of course, this is the thing.
Yeah.
JJ Fad, I have to put, I thought you didn't know it.
Okay.
So I thought you were, I was hoping this would be canon for you, they didn't, but you did know it, so that kind of.
Well, it's still canon.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought you would hate Loverboy.
There's not enough there for me to have a stronger reaction to
it. But more just the what the fuck, I can't believe Miles Davis. So that was the what the fuck
one. That was
one.
Great, Pete
and Bass. Then Pete and Bass, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, well, it's sort of a novelty kind
novelty.
Of thing.
Novelty. So this, I don't know where you're going to land.
Okay. Oh, right away.
Yeah.
You don't expect that kind of a beat on a metal record.
At all. I remember this video too. It was on VH1 Classic.
I don't remember it.
And you're going to see. So this starts out like a Lionel.
Yeah.
Typical Lionel. Then there's dancers. That's so not early 90s.
The dancers look great.
Dancers are hot. And he's dancing with them. His shirt is open except for the top.
Yeah, it's a weird look, but he is sort of carrying it off. Yeah.
And he's kind of dancing with them.
Yeah.
It's that beat, too, which is a little New Jackie.
But with like a Bruce Hornsby piano going on.
It's weird. Very tight jeans. Yeah, Lionel. It's a little weird. It's not...
Also, the piano... This is going to sound weird.
Yeah.
But the piano riff reminds me of You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette. That...
Oh, weird. Da, 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 I can see that. Da, da. She ripped off Lionel.
She stole it. Oh, she stole it from Lionel. This is a thing where, on paper, none of these elements should be working.
Yeah.
But all together, I'm kind of into it. It's a cosmic gumbo.
It's weird.
That really kind of works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lionel kind of pulls it off, but it's still like, what's happening?
I can't say this is going to end up on my playlist.
It's very interesting. Look at that. Fucking Lionel.
I like the hooks in this. I'm also just really primed to appreciate Lionel Richie right now because of the experience of watching The Greatest Night in Pop. Like, yes. I just want to support Lionel Richie.
Exactly. That's why I put this on, because I saw that and I remember the song and I was like, oh shit, he was great.
And also, a lot of his hits, his biggest hits in the 80s, I've never liked that much. Like, I think Hello sucks, Dancing on the Ceiling is like, whatever.
Yeah, those are terrible.
I kind of like this better than his biggest hits.
You
might hits.
Like, you should listen to his first album.
Yeah, we're still more Commodores.
Yeah, it's still more Commodores. Yeah. But this whole, there's like dance breaks in this.
Yeah.
He's doing dance breaks, which he is not known for.
Right. But it's also got like a 60s soul vibe to it with a 90s beat.
Yeah. It's a real amalgam.
Yeah. And it doesn't quite work. Like, if this wasn't a huge hit, I get why it wasn't.
It wasn't. His other song, Do It To Me, which is more like in the pocket of Lionel, that was the bigger hit.
But this I'm kind of digging this. This is like, you know, he reached for the stars with this one.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? It's just not my greatest hits. It's fine. I really think part of it, too... You were really right.
There's like strings in it.
There's like a 60s vibe to a Motown vibe to
it. Yeah, yeah.
Which is a big part of it. I'm in love with every single dancer in this.
Yeah, they're very 1991 hot dancers.
And it's almost like they're in the wrong video.
Yeah.
They should be in like a different, like Tevin Campbell video.
Yeah. It's mixing a lot of things that shouldn't work, but
no,
I like
it.
No,
it's very odd.
Yeah. And it's all very 1991. Maybe even more than the three-legged jeans commercial. We're watching VH1 right now, and after this, they're going to go to commercial. They're going to show a Levi's jeans commercial.
Yes, 100%.
And then there's going to be a Boku commercial starring Richard Lewis, R.I.P.
Yeah.
And then other 1991 things.
All 1991 things.
A Chicken Tonight commercial.
I feel like, yeah, exactly. Maybe a Michelob Dry commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was maybe it will go on a playlist.
That's to me the weirdest.
That was surprisingly.
Thing.
You know what? That's my favorite thing you brought to
this
episode.
That's crazy. I thought you'd be like, I don't know what to make of this. I don't know what to do.
I don't. Yeah. I don't know what to make of it other than that I make that I like it.
Wow, that's what Music Reagan's all about.
Yeah, yeah, you surprised me with that one. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to do like some soul searching now. Like, what does this mean about who I am and what I like and what I'm going to do with the rest of my life?
Yeah, bringing it back to the beginning.
Yeah. The second original, like, new single off of Lionel Richie's 1991 Greatest Hits package really hit for me.
Well, that's like...
My destiny. What's your favorite Lionel Richie song? My Destiny? No one's ever said that before.
No one even knows what you're talking about. Better than Hello? Fuck Hello. My Destiny.
Yeah. No, better, that was good.
Yeah. Better than the Commodores.
Yeah. He looked great, even though the costuming was very strange.
Yeah, looked fucking great.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Lionel.
Love that you responded to it. That's great.
But like I said, I'm just like so ready to be a Lionel Richie fan.
Because that's what I did. Before. I was like, oh my God, I forgot how fucking, what a good dude he is.
Yeah, he really seems like
a good dude. And so there's a lot of goodwill towards him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All Night Long is the song from the 80s that I do like. That
I love All Night Long. Yeah. Listen to his first album. There's stuff on there you might like.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
I'm going to become a Lionel Richie fan.
That'd be great. All of a sudden, you're like, I celebrate the man's entire career.
Just in time for his farewell tour. Yeah,
that's right. Like, Ballerina Girl is actually fantastic.
Yeah. Well, that was our last video. That's it for this episode.
150.
Of music. 150 proper episodes, 300 episodes total.
Goddamn, we're great.
No end in sight, though. For now, we've got to close the grab bag, let it replenish for 10 episodes from now.
That's right.
20 weeks from now, we'll open the grab bag up again. It'll be filled with more treasure.
Food. Well said, Paul. Yeah. You really got the Lionel in you.
Yeah, well, what can I say? After all these episodes, I've become a professional host. But that's it for this episode of Music Reagan. Music Reagan is hosted by me. I'm Paul.
I'm Kirk.
Until next time.
See ya!